This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Game Night with Matt Perrault.
It is Game Night on a Tuesday night. SB Nation Radio. It is 32-26, the Golden State Warriors leading the Houston Rockets. It's the debut for Chris Paul for the Houston Rockets. And while it is a night where you can almost excuse the Warriors, they don't play very well, just given the fact that they got their rings tonight and there's a lot of distractions tonight. But they've come off to a pretty good start here, 32-26 over the Rockets. So we'll watch that with you. All right, let's talk some NFL football. Seth Cox covers the Cardinals and the NFL for SBNation.com. Seth, Matt Perrault, good evening. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's start with the team that you are covering the closest, and that's the Cardinals and the debut of Adrian Peterson and what happened for that offense with AP in there. And obviously they jumped out to a big lead. They almost blew it. But how big of an addition could this be for the season for the Cardinals with David Johnson still injured?
Well, when you look at just the game on Sunday, it was telling that they finally were able to actually include the run game in anything they did. After the injury to David Johnson, they've almost exclusively thrown the ball. Carson Palmer averaging nearly 50 pass attempts per game. It's been asinine for the, you know, four games after the injury to David Johnson. So when they got Adrian Peterson, you assumed, okay, they'll slowly work him in, kind of, you know, try to figure things out. And come Sunday, you know, they give him the ball 26 times. As a team, they run the ball 30 times. It was a breath of fresh air to see an actual running game, a commitment to the run game. And if that's what they can do going forward, maybe not to the extent what they did on Sunday, 30 rushes to only 22 pass attempts, but, you know, closer to 25-25 or, you know, a 50-50 split, that offense is much better. I've often said this about Carson Palmer. He's a good quarterback. He's a quarterback you can win with. But we saw in the first 5 weeks, he's not going to be a quarterback that you're going to win because of. He needs support, and that's what he finally got with Adrian Peterson. Now the question is, can they fix their defense? Because they've been really bad the last two games.
It's interesting to look at Tampa and their defense, because going into the game, Tampa's pass defense was horrible, but their rush defense was pretty good, and Peterson went for 23 carries, 130 yards, and two touchdowns. Were you surprised that they were able to run the ball and then exploit the pass after the run game got going?
Yeah, I really was, actually, because, you know, one, the Cardinals haven't run the ball on anybody. They were on a historically bad pace. They were on pace to be the first team in NFL history since the merger to run for under 1,000 yards as a team. And so in one game, they've already, you know, upped their year total, and then they've also put themselves on pace to actually gain over 1,000 yards on the season. So it was, it was a huge game. And so to see it come against a more than adequate run defense was surprising. But then to see it, you know, really kind of be such a pivotal thing in the game and them to do so well, that was shocking, because this isn't like they were getting Adrian Peterson back from an injury in preseason where he had all training camp and everything. This guy had 5 days with the team. This was a complete surprise. And anybody that tells you differently, I wouldn't believe, honestly. Like, not saying that Adrian Peterson couldn't do this eventually, but in game one on 5 days' notice, that was shocking.
Seth Cox covers the NFL and the Cardinals for SBNation.com, joining us here on Game Night. All right, so the pregame has been obviously a huge topic around the NFL, and we had the whole Jerry Jones when the Cowboys were visiting. He took a knee before the national anthem and whatnot. How has that story resonated with your readers, with people in Arizona, with people in Phoenix? Are they sick to death of it? Are they angered by it? Are they turning off the TV sets? Because the numbers aren't bearing out what people are using as a talking point to rip the NFL.
You know, it's interesting because there hasn't really been a huge conversation in Arizona about it, because the team was basically unified from the beginning on, okay, we're all going to do X, and mm-hmm. and they chose, you know, to stand in solidarity with one another, mm-hmm. arms locked. That was their decision, and that's what they said. Frosty Rucker kind of came out and said, you know, we talked as a team, and this is what we were going to do, and it was going to be as a team. So it really hasn't been a huge point of emphasis within the Arizona Cardinals community because they haven't really done much of anything controversial, whether or not you think it's controversial or not, you know, just the controversy surrounding it.
Right.
But I can say for a fact that the 49ers game, it did not sit well with, you know, a group of Cardinals fans. The first time in months I've had to close comment sections and delete comments and things like that because, you know, it gets to a point where it's not about football or it's not about listening or understanding or talking. It just breaks down into insults. And that's what it's not supposed to be happening. That's, you know, what nobody wants from this. And that is the unfortunate reality of what is happening at times, you mm-hmm. know, through social media and comment sections and message boards and things like that. And so, you know, it's just, I think the biggest thing for us as, you know, site managers and working within the NFL is to be cognizant of what is being posted on your board. So that way you're not being
right.
looked at as, you know, leaning towards or favoring what is the conversation one way or the other, but instead you're giving people an opportunity to talk. But the unfortunate reality is most of the time those conversations get hijacked by people who have no desire to talk.
Right. And the weird thing about today was that meeting between the players and the owners, a group of the owners and the commissioner, and going kind of right afterwards, the story was actually really positive that they were going to – Doug Baldwin and the commissioner were co-sponsoring or co-writing a letter in support of a bill about racial injustices. And then as the day progressed, we heard more and more reports, including one that is stating that Roger Goodell was reading the Boston Globe during the conversation, and that when they brought up Colin Kaepernick, the owners immediately went to a bathroom break and did not want it to be discussed at all. How does that change the conversation if the owners are doing a lot of lip service to make it seem like they care, but they don't really care?
Well, and that's the unfortunate part of it is you want to see action to go along with whatever is being said. And that's, you know, again, we have to take the reports at, I guess, face value mm-hmm. of what they are. And that's as much as we can do, but you want to see the owners kind of put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, at that point. Like, if they're going to come out and talk about, you know, working together with the players in a way to unite and show solidarity with one another, then you want to see them actually do something about it. And so reports like that are disheartening, especially when you for so long have been waiting for that to kind
right.
of happen, right. the bridge to be mended, so to speak. And now, you know, these reports are coming out. And so you're just waiting to see, you know, is this all going to play out in a positive way, or is this going to continue to be a contentious issue that overshadows, you know, what has been an pretty exciting NFL season so far with a lot of parity.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that the reports are false, and I hope that these owners took the conversation in the meeting seriously, because if it is true that the commissioner was so bored that he was reading the newspaper and there was not a lot of in-depth conversations going on inside the room, that all that does is put the players, like Cardinal players are in solidarity, it puts them all kind of in a very difficult position if they get called out by other teammates or other players to do more to show the Players Association and the Players Union that they're all in this together. I really hope that you're right, that they, you know, you got to take it at face value and hope that it's wrong, because if it's not, that's not good, Seth, at all, for all of us who cover the NFL. All right, sorry, but we're out of time, but thank you for the time tonight. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no problem. Have a great night.
It's Seth Cox joining us for SB Nation covering the Cardinals and covering the NFL here on game night. And look, that's a report that was out tonight. It came from a former player and reporter from SNY in New York that is claiming he was told by a union rep that in the room that the owners did not want to discuss Colin Kaepernick, that when Colin Kaepernick was brought up, they went to a bathroom break, and that the commissioner was reading the Globe. There, and also has been reported elsewhere by other media members that the commissioner was reading a newspaper during the meeting with the players. If that is going to be backed up and we hear players on the record saying that happened, that is horrible for us. As fans of the NFL, that is horrible news. That the owners were that dumb that they couldn't sit there in a room and just listen to the players and try to make it work for everybody and try to find a solution to what the players are doing. That is really unfortunate if true. More to come. Game night.